In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As David wept over Absalom's demise, so Christ weeps over Jerusalem. See how he loved them. He wanted to gather them together under the wing of his gospel so that forgiveness, life, and salvation might be theirs. He was born for them. He preached among them. And he came to rule them not with an iron fist, but with grace, mercy, and peace. Yet they were not willing. God forces himself upon no one. He lets himself be rejected. And yet in the process, he used that rejection even for their good. They rejected him, but he did not reject their sins. He took them upon himself so that he might die in their place, pay for their sins, and open to them the kingdom of God. The Son of God dies in the place of his enemies. The Lamb rejected so that sinners might be declared justified before the Father. And then he rose, burying their sins deep within the earth. He is their sacrifice, their King, their God. He is the Son of David, whose promised kingdom will have no end. He is the one who longs to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks. Yet they are not willing. They are not willing because they thought their piety was good enough. All heresy, all false teaching wants to worship God, but it wants to do it in its own way. It answers the question, why are you going to heaven? By saying, because I love God and I do good. No one will admit that they are sinners. No one will admit either that they are perfect. Most will say that they are pretty good who have made some mistakes, but not as bad as others. They even may pray regularly. So how willing is man to run after these false gods? To leave the wings of Christ oblivious to the dangers that circle overhead. The devil is like a vulture waiting to strike those who leave Christ. If only they saw the great dangers. So to a rebellious people, Christ sends his messengers. To a stubborn people, Christ sends his servants. To sinners, to his enemies, Christ sends his prophets. But the darkness does not want the light. And so Cain killed Abel to silence the truth and to protect his false worship. Ham mocked Noah, and his idolatrous descendants built the Tower of Babel so that they might hold fast to their idolatrous worship and not encounter the God of Abraham. King Joash killed Zechariah so that he might continue to worship the Asherim without needing to be rebuked. And the Sanhedrin stoned Stephen because he had the audacity to point them away from the temple and to the one who tabernacled among them, died for them, rose for them, and promises to give all who believe an eternal kingdom. Heresy assaults the truth, so that it might not be exposed as wrong. But it wants to silence all opposition, the truth, so that it might be seen as right and good. But since it lives apart from the word of God, there is no faith there. Since it leaves the wings of Christ, there is no salvation or glory there. Jesus says the blood of all the martyrs comes upon that generation because they stand in a unique place in history. They saw God with their eyes. They heard him preach. They saw his miracles testifying who he was. And they knew that he was the Christ, the very Son of God. They even heard the report of the guards who saw the angel descend from heaven and roll back the stone, revealing the emptiness of that tomb. They knew that Jesus lived, and they paid the guards to silence them, to promote a lie. Heresy will never submit to the truth. So as the prophets culminated in the person of Jesus Christ, so also the persecution of the church culminated in that generation. God is not punishing Judah for someone else's sin, but they are an example of what happens to those who reject this newborn king. Your house is left desolate. No longer does God dwell in that temple, for he has taken on a new temple, his own flesh. No longer does he sit amongst sheep and goats, but he dwells amongst cherubim and seraphim, sitting next to sinners, tax collectors, and the needy. See how he loved the world. Thus, the temple is nothing more than an empty house, and thus it will be destroyed. The word is no longer there. God is no longer there. Faith can no longer be present there. And yet still God sends his messengers out into the world, to a hostile world that doesn't want to be shown its errors or proven wrong. It's quite content in its self-made, man-centered worship. All are unwilling to hear that word, but it is his word that makes them willing. As they preach, some simply ignore that gospel. Others, following Jerusalem, are a bit more hostile. Even in our day and age, Christians throughout the world do suffer various persecutions, some still giving their life for Christ. And then there are some who are converted, gathered underneath the wing of Christ. And you are among them. You who were unwilling, he has made willing. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in its wings, and under those wings of forgiveness you have taken refuge. All works are excluded. His gospel alone is what saves. You are justified by grace through faith in Christ. His blood covers over your every sin. His righteousness is your holy garment that avails before God. You add nothing, improve upon nothing. But he who believes this rests safe and secure. Faith is looking outward at those wings, at Christ, those arms spread upon the cross, confident that salvation belongs to us. Faith does not look inward to see if it exists, but casts its gaze outward so that it might be confident that whatever it endures or however it feels, Christ is still his Savior. Faith looks outward. God will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler, says the psalmist. Therefore, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. And he continues, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. Like an anxious hen, Christ scratches and searches and calls to gather the entire world to himself, for he has died for the world. His house will not be desolate, for the light of the world fills it, and men from every nation, tribe, language, and people are gathered to him. And here we are, we who are far off in time, far off even in distance, come to worship a newborn king, our Lord, our Savior. If the believers then are scarcely saved, how can the world itself escape? The covering of hills will not be enough to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Their man-made fig leaves are not enough to atone for their sin. Christ alone is the refuge of men. Under his wings, Stephen boldly preached. Under his wings, Stephen fell asleep. What looked like defeat is actually victory, for through faith in Christ, Stephen has overcome the world and has now entered into the eternal kingdom, prepared by Christ for those who believe. It is often said, and rightly so, that in times of trouble, men turn to their God, whatever it may be. I suppose it might also be true that at Christmas time, men turn to their God, whatever it may be. Perhaps nostalgia, that traditions either make or break this Christmas season for many. And some of those traditions are going to church. So yes, we observe these traditions. Yes, we play games with family, enjoy time with one another. These are good and godly things. But don't let those things be the wing underneath you take refuge and find peace. The child of Bethlehem longs to gather you, and when you poke your head out from underneath that wing, thinking you know enough and you will be fine, and you make an unwise decision, Christ will send you yet another messenger to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The temple is no longer standing, far outpacing our building in beauty. The cathedrals in Europe still stand, but often many of them are also desolate. And yet here you find your God and King, present on this altar, not in a desolate house, but filled with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. Here you find the Lord, the Savior of all. Here you rest underneath his forgiveness, life, and salvation. To that end, Christ continues to send out his servants to his enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.